It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton. Glad to be talking sports and other things with you. This show, underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and the Elam Group. Well, when most of us were coming home from Mass on Sunday, we heard the shocking news about Kobe Bryant. I know it's been a few days now, but still, this is something that's going to affect all of sports forever. This is something we will remember forever. And because of the impact that Kobe Bryant had on the game of basketball and beyond, you know, he was a Catholic, a very devout Catholic. Now, he had some struggles back in the early 2000s where he was connected with a potential, they called it rape, but then it wasn't. And then there's still sort of the he said, she said, but Kobe, in the end, what he did was, at that time of his life, he was born Catholic, and he sought out his Catholic faith and sought out a priest, and a priest advised him, and he rediscovered his faith during the, like so many people do, during a pitfall of his life. He was at his lowest point in his life, and he rediscovered his Catholic faith and really became a great Catholic man for what the remainder of his life, which unfortunately was only another 16 years or so. But there are reports that Kobe actually went to Mass Sunday morning before he got on the helicopter. He and his daughter, who they called Gigi, killed in a helicopter crash on Sunday. Bryant, just 41 years old, his 13-year-old daughter, and seven others, including a well-known baseball coach on the West Coast, and his wife and their daughter, they left at home two other kids who now will go through the rest of their life without their family. So it's a tragic story, tragic for the NBA, tragic for all of sports. But I think, none of us know this, but it feels like Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi were in a good place with their faith. And they were on their way to a basketball game. How many of us listening to this show can think of a time when we took our kid to a game? We were taking our kid to a softball game or a baseball game or a football game or a basketball game, you know, your granddaughter, your grandson. And you think about how innocent that is, and that's how they lost their life. He was going, now they were in a helicopter. Most of us don't take helicopters to our kids' games, but that's where he was in life. But when you think about how innocent that is and how all of us can connect with that, and you think about how many times you got in a car or maybe you got on a plane and to go to a game. And in the end, that's what Kobe Bryant was doing with his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi. One other thing, you know, there is in the works a statue of Kobe out in front of the Staples Center in L.A. They've been talking about it, and they're going to do it anyway. He'll go into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2020, this year. And there's talk about the statue. And I saw a picture on Sunday. There's a picture of Kobe and his daughter, Gigi, standing back-to-back with her holding a basketball. How cool would that be if that's the statue? If it's not Kobe playing basketball, but if it's Kobe being a dad, that would be pretty cool. Again, our thoughts and prayers with everybody on board and all their families. We will miss Kobe Bryant. Switching gears rather abruptly, let's bring in our basketball analyst and now your head coach of the Evansville Aces, Mr. Todd Licklider. Coach, good to have you on the show.
It's always my pleasure, Will. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is such good news to see you back on the sidelines. Head coach of Evansville, just happened last week. But before we talk about the Aces and your team, just your thoughts on Kobe Bryant. A very sad day Sunday, and I'm sure it affected your kids, your players on your team some.
Well, I think it affected everyone. You know, it's tragic. He's so young, and no preparation for it because of an accident. Yeah. And so there's just, it's sad, it's really sad for all of us that, watched him play, and it's just so unexpected. But it does tell you how temporal this life is, and so it makes you really have perspective, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does. And Todd Licklider is our guest, head coach of the Evansville Aces. And if you're listening to this and you don't know that, last week was a whirlwind for you. You and I were on this show maybe 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about Butler and how they're doing, this, that, and the other. And you were their retired grandpa taking care of kids. And then all of a sudden, you get the call to get back on the sidelines. Take me through the timeline. How did it happen? How did you become the head coach of Evansville last week?
I don't know. No, no. You know, it's interesting that my wife, my sons. I have three sons, and they said, "Well, we're going to throw Dad a retirement party." And this was a month or two ago, and my wife said, "No, we're not, because if somebody calls, he's going back to work. I know him.
Yeah,
he can't stay out of the gym."
Yep.
So, but I really didn't expect it. But you know, this is so unique, because I spent a year down here, and, you know, you build relationships and you see how the administration works. And I just think I created or we created friends with one another in so many different areas of the university community, that when they were in need of some leadership change, that they called me.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was open to it. This University of Evansville reminds me an awful lot of Butler. They're not identical by any means, so we'll tweak. But, you know, they have strong administrative support like we did at Butler. They have a great community that's involved like we did. A private school, quality education in Indiana, tradition. They have terrific, you know, Jim Cruz, great coach. Coach Mack before him, they won national championships with Jerry Sloan and Larry Humes. I mean, it was just so, when you think about, hey, how would you want to spend the last so many years of your career? I couldn't have scripted any better for me. It's not how I wanted to get the job, but it is the job I'd like to have.
Yeah. Well, I know what this is. I think it's a testament to just perseverance and patience and prayer. I mean, you and I talked off the air about you really wanted one more chance at a D1 opportunity, one more chance to do something that you could kind of fulfill, you know, kind of the end of your career. And like you said, Evansville sounds like the perfect fit. But just talk about maybe the lesson learned by all this, that you're never done, you're never out of it, if you keep doing the right things, people will notice that, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm fond of, did you ever see Out to Sea with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau? They were on a cruise ship as a dancer. It's a comedy. They were funny. But they said it's too late. And one of them said, well, no, it's never too late. That's why they invented death. And, you know, so you got to keep your focus. And I've got such great family support. I mean, there's just no way you could have a better coach's wife than my wife. And having three boys, and they all played. And, you know, they know that we kind of have always had a gym in our, in the family in some regard. And, it's just been so good to me. My father was a high school coach.
Yeah.
And I just think there's tremendous lessons that you can learn and be taught, and I'm learning them as we go. And the other thing is, I try hard. Obviously we all have, you know, our shortcomings and our failures and all those things. But I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And so, you know, when you're in a situation, I didn't know that this was going to come about, but I feel like I put forth a good effort down here as an assistant, and you just don't know what the next one's going to be. And it's interesting, people, I think I've shared this with you, people have said to me, when did you know Brad Stevens was going to be Brad Stevens, you know? And I said, well, I didn't know that he was, how, you know, the success he was going to have, but I knew he was going to be really good at whatever he did, because of his approach to the jobs you gave him. He didn't ever look at a job and think it was beneath him. He tackled it, he got it done correctly, and he moved on. And he seemed to appreciate the opportunities before him and to be a part of it. And I think those are things that we all at Butler, you know, we were always striving to do, to be a good teammate. Yeah. I think Barry Collier really established a wonderful foundation there for how you treat people and how you go about your work. And then the rest of us were just really trying to uphold it.
Yeah. Todd Licklider, he's our basketball analyst, but also the head coach of the University of Evansville. And good to see you back on the sidelines. And you talked about, you and I have had the discussion about what you like most is you're a teacher at heart. And you love to teach the game. And what a neat opportunity now for you to get that chance again. And that's, I'm sure, what you're embracing. I mean, your first game, you'd only had the job for about 6 hours, I think. and then game two at Valpo on Sunday night, you guys had a chance. You almost beat them. Came back from 18 down and got within two. If that one kid of yours would have just laid it in instead of trying to dunk it, you probably would have had a tie game. That was my that's my media guy sitting there going, "Why did you just lay it in?" But just the chance.
You know, we had four or five layups blocked. Yep. So I can kind of see him taking it strong and hard. And
yeah.
He was at the rim, so he's just a outstanding young man.
Yeah.
So,
but you get a chance to teach, and you can see you're teaching. Your handprints are already on this team in just, you know, a few days' time.
Well, you know, the only way that could happen is if they're willing to listen and embrace what you're talking about. And so, I think there's something to the fact that when the student is ready, the professor appears, you know. So it's those students that that really make it worthwhile. And I'm so thankful that there's a subject, that basketball's a subject, because I don't think I'd be even close to qualified to teach in anything else. But I actually really enjoy all the aspects of the game that you can share, and the team aspect of it, how one person complements another, and they kind of become interdependent. And, you know, there's just, I don't know, I think really good teams, if you see it, there's just a cohesiveness that is, I don't know if you find it in a whole lot of other areas of life, to be honest. Sports are just a great environment.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And I know right now you're drinking out of a fire hose, but what do you hope to accomplish? Like, have you set goals, or are you just trying to take it a minute by minute right now?
Well, I hate to admit it, but I was actually telling Brad, I'm not sure what to prioritize, and when I do figure out the priorities, I'm not quite sure how to address them. So, and unfortunately for them, they're paying me for all that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just one of those things where you, you know, you get up, you evaluate, and you do the very best you can. I don't want to go backwards, so the values are really important, that you make your decisions based on whatever values you chose, your principles within the program. Mm-hmm. And don't expect, you know, that's why I said, hey, the coaching's done, you know, every day except game day, really. Yeah. And then the game day, you coach a little bit, but that's just adjustment. So the more practice we have, I think the closer we'll get. But it's going to be a process. There's no question it will be a process. But that's what, you know, if it was easy, it wouldn't be near as fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, Todd, I really appreciate your friendship, and good luck, and just congratulations. I know we're all rooting for you here, and just wish you the very best of luck and Godspeed as you take over the Evansville basketball program.
Well, it is always a pleasure to speak with you on and off the air, and your friendship means a lot. So thank you very much, and if you got listeners that don't have somebody to cheer for, we will accept Purple Ace fans.
Yep.
So.
Hey, we love the color. The purple is a great color. It looks good on you, Coach.
Beautiful.
That's Todd Licklider. Thank you, Coach. All right. We're going to take a break. Bye. More Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. Well, we haven't forgotten, this Sunday, it's Super Sunday, Super Bowl 54, the San Francisco 49ers against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's my pleasure to bring in an old friend, Barry Krause, former NFL just superstar, right? Right, Barry? That's a good way to call you, isn't it? You like that tag?
I think that might be an overreach.
Okay. Veteran. We'll say 12 seasons. Played in the NFL 12 seasons. Was the first-round pick of the Baltimore Colts back in 79 and played for the Colts from 79 to 88. And you're a radio personality. Still with the Colts. You still do the post-game show. Barry Krause, good to have you on the show. Everything going well with you?
Everything's going well, Will. It's just great to be on your show. Looking forward to it.
Well, I would imagine that if you look at this game this weekend, San Fran, Kansas City, you're a defensive guy, linebacker. Most people remember you still. Alabama fans remember the 79 Sugar Bowl when you stepped in there and you were the middle of the goal line stand to stop Penn State in the Sugar Bowl. So you think defense first. So I would maybe assume that you think San Francisco is going to win because they're a better defense, but I don't know. I'm not going to put words into your mouth. What do you think of this matchup?
Well, yeah, I like defense, but I also like running game. You know, I just, the Chiefs come in averaging over 300 yards passing a game, so it'll be a challenge for that 49er defense. And but the 49ers defensive front is just really awesome, one of the best in the league at getting to the quarterback, and that's what it's going to take. And it's going to be a challenge because Mahomes really does a nice job at extending plays. You might be in a zone defense and he rolls out. Next thing you know, you're in a man defense. All of a sudden, you got to what we call plaster, get on your receivers. And so that is really a mobile quarterback like that is such a challenge. But what I like is the 49ers running game. Boy, I'll tell you, they're averaging 235 yards in the post game, but 285 yards last week against Green Bay was just phenomenal. So I just think that when you get into the playoffs, you get into the final game, running game is critical, and the Colts had that when they had a good running game when they won the Super Bowl. So I like the 49ers. I really do. But it's very tight. It's one of the best matchups, I think, that we've seen in a long time because I think the Chiefs are favored by minus one. I give the edge to the 49er defense. I think they got a great pass rush. And, boy, when you get on that quarterback and put him under pressure, your DBs look great and your linebackers. Being a former linebacker, I like looking good. So picking one off in the Super Bowl would be awesome.
Talking with Barry Krause. And when I think of San Francisco, too, in that game against Green Bay, what they did most, it seemed like the tight ends and the receivers were really blocking well. As a guy who played defense, how hard is it when you're not sure where that block is coming from, where it might be a receiver, it might be a tight end? Is that a tough thing to plan for?
No, not if you've been watching film. I guarantee they watch a lot of film, so they know how they use those tight ends with blocking schemes, and they're really good on the perimeter. And so, I just think that, even when you play the Colts, Jack Doyle is going to, what they call a wham block. He'll come back inside from the tight end position back across the middle and, what they call wham the nose tackle or another defensive lineman and basically trap them out of the hole. So I love that type of football. I mean, when I played, I loved to play against the Steelers because Steelers trapped up and down the line of scrimmage, but it was always fun to identify because these offensive linemen will give you tips. They'll tell you where it's coming from, and you get up in there and, you get your defensive lineman in there, and it creates chaos. So but those tight ends are critical. If you get some good blocking tight ends, it really helps the running game.
Yeah, we're talking with Barry Krause. He is host of the postgame show for the Indianapolis Colts during the regular season. But you do so many things. You're an artist, and you're also now a college graduate. It took you 40 years, but you did it. Congratulations, Barry. Tell me that story.
It's pretty funny because we didn't have the NFL Combine in Indianapolis back then, and so latter part of my senior year, there were three of us, Marty Lyons, who ended up being a number one draft pick by the Jets, and then you also had Tony Nathan, a second round pick for the Dolphins that played in the Super Bowl as well. And I ended up being a number one pick, and all three of us basically dropped out of school because back then, you know, the teams would call you, like the New York Jets, and they'd ask us to fly to New York and work out and do an interview. Then we'd fly to Tampa Bay. We'd fly to Philadelphia. We'd fly all over the country. Mm-hmm. And so school just kind of fell to the wayside, so we all dropped out. Well, the next thing you know, we got a phone call, each of us, and it was Coach Bryant, and he summoned us to his office. Let me tell you this. When he calls and he wants you there, I mean, you drop everything. Yeah. And we went in there and was like, Coach Bryant was just irate. And he just went, I cannot believe you disappointed me. And that was one of the last things he wanted to do. He goes, you guys are not finished in school? And we said, no, sir, here's what we're doing. We promise that we'll go back. We'll promise we'll get it done. Well, about 4 years ago, Tony Nathan got his degree. And about 3 years ago, Marty Lyons went back, and I was the lone guy that hadn't gotten it done. And my mom just asked me, she said, you know what? You know, you'd make your dad proud. He passed about 5 years ago. And she goes, you know what? You need to finish. Make Coach Bryant proud. And you got to get it done. So I ended up going back and finishing and graduated in 2019. I was a 2019 graduate. And I walked across the stage. I knew I had to.
That's great.
Because there are a lot of people that are like, going, dude, he really graduate? Really? Yeah. Really? But yeah. I got it done after 40 years.
Well, that's fantastic. A promise to Bear Bryant that you now have your degree at Alabama. Congratulations, Barry. Tell me about your artist. We've only got a few more minutes here, but you are quite the painter.
Well, I've been in art most of my life, but I really hadn't really taken it so very seriously, and I've just recently kind of gotten back into it. And you know, there was and it's really interesting. There's a story about a young man that was killed a couple weeks ago in Nashville. His name is Clay Buthard, and he happens to be the baby brother of C.J. Buthard, who's the third string quarterback of the 49ers.
It was a couple years ago, right? A couple years ago that he got killed, not a couple weeks ago.
No, he just got killed.
Was it just recent?
Yeah, it was just recently in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, with that death, I mean, you know, basically, one of the aunts lives in my community, and she comes up to me and she goes, "I heard you were an artist," and I said, "Really?" And so, and she said, "I'd like you to paint a picture of this young man. His name is Clay, and I'd like you to do that." I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" So I have never, you know, I've had people ask me to do things and they're willing to pay me and everything, but this was one of those things where I had a heavy heart. Yeah. Was I going to be able to get it done? And I finally did today, and so. I'm hopefully happy with what I've done, but it's just a sad story about him dying and a young man. But it's got me back into painting and drawing. I love doing it, but, you know, it's kind of like football. You can't just show up on Sunday and think that you're going to play well without practicing. Yeah. So I got to practice every day, and so I've been doing that. And this has really inspired me to pick it back up and excited where the future goes with us.
What do you draw from your drawings and your paintings? What do you get out of it personally? What are you kind of thinking? And you know, is it every subject or every piece is something different, or do you kind of get into another place?
It's a lot of different things. I can do sports figures. You know, I did one of that goal line stand that you and I talked about 40 years ago. I did that and had prints made, and I sold 1,000 of them to the Bryant Museum. And I didn't realize I could really actually make some money. So, but I'll do everything. I mean, I can do perspectives, cities, all the above. It's whatever I'm inspired by doing. And a lot of my main medium is watercolor, and I'm kind of drifting into pastels. I recently signed up to learn about oils, but I've just always been a watercolor guy, sketches. So what I get out of it is it teaches me patience. I always want to hurry up and get it done, and if it's not done, it's not a masterpiece. I get depressed, and I quit. You know, I just kind of go, stop. You know, I'll come back at it another time, and then it takes me a month, 2 months before I get back into it, but that's not how you do it. I just recently heard from a podcast, a gentleman that's an artist, and he said the best information I ever got or suggestion was to pick one thing and draw it over a year. Just draw it over and over and over every day. Draw it over and over and over. So, and that's what it is. It's just repetitive. It's practice and getting into it. And it's one of those things where, you know, you sit around and wait for passion to happen. It's not going to happen. You got to get action. So you got to get things moving in the right direction, and then the passion will, you know, obviously find it, you know, you'll find it through doing things rather than just sitting around waiting for it to happen. So I'm excited where it's going.
Well, thank you, Barry, for joining us here on Catholic Sports Weekly. Really great catching up with you. It's been a while since we've talked, and let's don't be a stranger. Let's get you back on the show sometime. We'll just talk whatever you want to talk about.
That'd be great. I miss you doing the post-game show for the Colts, buddy. You're one of my best, and love you. You take care, and I wish you the best.
All right, that's Barry Krause. He's an artist. He is a college graduate, the leader of the goal line stand for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and, of course, a radio personality for your Indianapolis Colts. Thank you, Barry. We're back to close out this edition of Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
The underwriters of this show, AAA Roofing Company, and also the Elim Group. Well, Super Sunday happens this week, and you just heard Barry Krause, a former Indianapolis Colt. His prediction is he thinks San Francisco 49ers will win this game. Last week, we had Ryan Deem on, former offensive lineman. He picked the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's kind of interesting to see an old defensive player pick the 49ers and an old offensive player pick the Chiefs. It should be a good football game. Get with your family, embrace your family, and enjoy the game this weekend. Again, also thanks to Barry and Todd Licklider. Congratulations to Coach Lick, head coach now of the University of Evansville. I know if you're like me, I'm an Aces fan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.